Welcome to Movie Dudes, episode 60. I am Jeff, and I'm joined, as always, by Chris.
Hey.
We're going to start off talking about a movie that is now available on Netflix. Not sure if we talked about it yet here on the show, but it was one I recommended to Chris. It's a 2015 documentary from Bobcat Goldthwait. How do you say his name, Chris?
Goldthwait.
Goldthwait.
I think that sounds right.
Doesn't really roll off the tongue.
No. Actually, it blocks up.
Yeah. But Bobcat is, he's done a lot of, like, really, I think, interesting films. I think that World's Greatest Dad, starring Robin Williams, is probably his, well, this might be his best, in my opinion. But, anyways, he's done some good, interesting films. He also did that, what the hell is that, American...
I know which one you're talking about.
It's a killing spree movie starring Bill Murray. Anyways, he's done some dark comedies, and this is his first documentary. Well, I'll let Chris. It's fresh in Chris's mind. He just saw it over the last week, so take us away, Chris. Yeah. Tell us a little about Call Me Lucky, and I'll chime in where need be.
The film you were trying to grab the name of is called God Bless America.
Oh, God Bless America. Yeah, yeah.
This movie, Call Me Lucky, it's a documentary about Barry Crimmins, a political satirist, stand-up comedian type guy, who's turned activist. It starts out like kind of just like detailing his, you know, his early stand-up career.
It kind of goes back into the whole heyday of a lot of these comics that we know and love, or at least I do. I mean, and you're kind of like, why have I never heard of this guy?
Right. I mean, I think we have, like, and we'll get to it, I'm sure. I've heard the name before.
I had never heard of him.
And I mean, maybe some of it is also like, you know, where his brand of humor kind of took off up in Boston. Like, I have family up there, so they had probably seen him before. So I'd heard the name before going in, but I really had no idea who the guy is. He just seemed kind of like a really cranky political satirist. Like, a lot of his stand-up that they showed in the documentary was very scathing and not always necessarily funny. Like, sometimes he was just using like his stand-up as like a platform to
he kind of, I mean, I have not watched a lot of his, all I've seen is what they show in the movie, right, but it kind of reminded me a little bit of Bill Hicks, kind of mixed with this guy who just gets on stage and drinks and smokes, which is like my favorite type of a comedian, is the guy who will get on stage and drink and smoke for an hour and just get fucking lit.
Right.
So I was like, right away, I'm like, this guy's fucking great. And of course, my politics line up with him, and I'm like, why have we never heard of him? Anyways, go.
Yeah, so it goes over that, and kind of like details how he, yeah, he was starting to rise, like, really. He was really starting to get his name out there. And at some point, he just kind of cracked. And, like, those around him didn't really, like, they were like, hey, maybe you should kick it with the clubs. Like, it's not really working for you anymore. And he kind of became even more of a political activist at that point, speaking out against, I think it's like the early 80s. So he was speaking out against, like, Ronald Reagan and that type of stuff, but not in the way that, like, political humorists do.
He was a genuine activist.
Like, yeah, he was actively going, like, I mean, sometimes, like, when he was doing his act, it could have been funny, but, like, he was actually, like, trying
to go to
get
rallies and stuff.
Yeah, like, stuff like that. And then all of a sudden, the film just kind of turned dark sideways, like, out of nowhere. And it goes into this really dark place about, he reveals that he was raped as, like, a 5-year-old boy by a guy that his babysitter knew, and it like was a repeated thing over and over again. And his sister eventually, you know, saw it, and that's how it eventually stopped. But that's like, it was really, really dark. And then goes into documenting how he took on AOL, like at the start of the internet age.
Like 95 and
Like,
shit,
yeah, like because they were basically profiteering off of child pornography. Like the like not that they were like, yes, we endorse child pornography, but they were certainly allowing for child pornography to be
Yeah.
distributed and handled on their service. And at the time, like, I mean, it made a lot of sense as to why they wouldn't really look too deep into it, because as a business, they're trying to take as much money as they can. And at that point in time, I remember very clearly, like, my parents were like, you don't stay on the goddamn internet for too long, because,
Well, yeah, a lot of people won't remember that. Like, a lot
yeah,
of
it
people don't.
was by the minute. Like, you
Yeah,
got
you got
charged by the
charged, yeah.
minute, because you were using your telephone. Like,
Yeah.
so it wasn't like, one, your telephone bill would be high, especially if you didn't have a local dial-up number. And on top of that, AOL or, you know, Prodigy or whatever, you know, web service you were using at the time to connect was charging you a fee per minute as well. So like, you might have got like, you know, 3, 4 hours for free or whatever a month, but then anything over that, they were charging you an exorbitant sum. So
Yeah, and you think about it, these are guys that, one, probably spent a lot of their time on the internet as child photographers, and they're trading pics
images
and
and like,
video, and
yeah,
that
like,
takes a long time back then to
yeah,
do.
'cause like I remember, you know, 96, it was probably like when I really started being able to use the internet at home. And like, you know, first thing that kids do is like,
Porn.
you're looking
It's the
up porn.
first thing,
But it's
yeah.
like, I remember, like, you know, me and like my friends, like we're like up in my room, like looking at, like trying to find like some porn on the internet, and it's taken like 5 minutes for a picture to download. It's like slowly cutting down, and like there's a little, like, oh, there's a nipple,
Yeah,
like it
exactly. It's
just,
slowly
yeah,
loading the picture.
it was like total, never mind video, like these were photos
It
that
was
were
just
taking
picture.
forever. Like, I
Gee.
mean, we're so spoiled now that it's like, you know, we pop on YouTube and press play, and like we get upset if like it has to buffer and like it's not watching it right away. Like, no,
Yeah.
like 20 years ago, like that wasn't the way shit worked. Like, and he was dealing with this even before that, when he was kind of going at them.
He was, you know, he was on the cutting edge of like there's they
Yeah.
talked to law enforcement
Oh
and
yeah,
stuff
and like
because
they
they're
didn't
like,
even know how
dude,
to
we had no
handle it.
idea.
Like the, he like the, he's like there's he's sitting on all this evidence, and we don't know what to do with it because we've never experienced something like this. Like, he's basically like, he's done a raid himself, and we don't know what to do with it. And he ends up like testifying in front of Congress, like over
And
this. And
held his own, in my opinion.
yeah,
He
really,
was.
like it was funny because like, I guess they're talking to, they're interviewing, I guess, some of these senators, like, and like Barry Kerman's just going off on this guy, and at one point they're like, well, who is this? And he's like, he's one of us. And like, all right. And then like all of a sudden, like he grabbed the room. He even these people who kind of disgustingly like were like, oh, we don't really understand the internet, like, and
Yeah.
they go into it in detail in the movie, where it was like almost like a badge of honor to like one up, like, oh, well, I know even less than that guy.
Yeah, like these old senators that, you know, what Strom Thurmond and fucking Paul Simon and shit. Like these guys are ancient back in the
Yeah.
90s or like, I don't know the internet. And he's like, well, you probably should know what the fuck's going on.
Right.
But what more impressive to me is he goes toe to toe with a fucking AOL lawyer
Yeah,
and he
with like
fucking hands him
this
his ass.
big shot, you know, big money lawyer. Like the guy is kind of like, oh, well, you know, we did respond to you. Yeah, you respond to me on occasion, but
Yeah.
like, here's your responses. Like he was prepared to go up against them. But yeah, it was a really dark turn for that. And then, you know, I guess they go back to where the abuse actually happened. And you see, like, it really messed with him, like
For
as
sure.
it would, like
Yeah.
as it would anybody. But like he kind of he like looks at it and is like, one of the things I found really telling was when he's talking about like how people, like nobody wants to talk about it. Like ever,
Yeah.
nobody ever actually wants to talk about like child abuse, child porn, any of this, and like their go-to stock answer is, oh, you should just fucking kill him. Like
Yeah,
that, they're
yeah.
a disgusting type of person. And he's like, no, like,
Well, and how many times have you heard someone say that? He's right. I've heard someone
oh
say
yeah,
that a billion
like,
times. I've said it probably.
right,
Yeah.
like just, I mean, I've had that conversation, and it's like.
Yeah.
And it's right, like it's a way of just like I don't actually want to think about this, so the easiest way to do it is to just be like, how do we actually eliminate it? Well, we kill the guy, like
Put
if
the
it,
guy in a room with the parents and let
right,
him,
just let them
beat
beat the
him to
hell
death.
out of him,
Yeah.
like. And what Barry Crimmins was like, he's like, no, like that's the wrong approach, like.
He even has a little bit of sympathy for them.
Yeah, it's like as he said, he's like, well, what would have happened like if I had been molested two or three more times? Maybe I'm the monster at that point. Maybe,
Yeah.
like, it's like because a lot of the people that are molesters were molested as kids. Like, not
Yeah.
everybody that was molested becomes a molester, but like a good amount of the ones that are doing the molesting are, like,
Yeah.
were as children. And there's something sad about that, but it's like, it was also very like. Touching to be like this guy, he doesn't necessarily forgive the guy,
No,
but
no.
like he also like has an understanding somewhere too of like how that could happen, and that like it just needs to stop. Like,
Yeah. And I think you're right, the film does go dark, but it does. It goes how he it just it shows how he like built a life out of
right.
that he could be proud of, like very proud of, I think, in my opinion. Like, he did something better than comedy. He went on and became an activist for something that actually really meant something to
Yeah,
him.
like that really, really matters. Like,
Yeah.
I mean, it's one thing, to have like Bill Maher or whatever get up there and like he talks, but he's an entertainer. He's a performer. Like he like that's what he is first, even if like he's a political activist second. Like, even if he banks off of being a political activist, like he's an entertainer first and foremost. Like
Yeah.
Barry Kerman's like left, not so much left that behind, but. He realized, like, no, to like make any sort of change, I have to be this first, and then anything else second. Yeah, it
Yeah.
was really good.
Yeah, I'm happy to hear it. 'Cause you're the first person I've recommended the movie to who actually went and watched it. So I'm happy to hear I'm not alone thinking that it was. I mean, honestly, to me, this is gonna be my top 10 of the year. Maybe my top five. It just kind of blew me away. But the other thing about it is, I think that he's still doing comedy now, but and he does not shy away from they show him doing stand up now. It's a different kind of stand up. It's more quiet, smaller room, almost like a what do they call it? It's like a spoken word type thing or whatever.
Yeah.
Where like he does not shy away from joking about it, as well. Like,
Right. Like he's like, yeah, like that. One of the ending things is he's kind of talking about how he's a terrible actor and he can't even act in his own documentary, and like he goes into detail of like how, they went and filmed at that house that day, and that's why maybe he's not on point tonight, like his
he's
head's
like.
in the wrong spot.
It's like out of, you're sitting in front of a crowd who they don't necessarily all know you and where you come from and this and that, and he's just like, yeah, we went and filmed in the basement where I got raped today. I don't go there often, and it's like, that's funny, like that's a funny joke. It goes to show, George Carlin had a great bit about how you could joke about anything, and one of his examples is he's like, you don't think rape's funny? He's like picture fucking what the fuck is? Picture Bugs Bunny getting fucked by Elmer Fudd. Now you tell me that's not like, I don't know, like
Right.
it goes to show though that you can make comedy out of anything, and most comedy does come from a dark place. But like this guy really is not afraid to go to the edge.
Right.
He's not afraid to not be funny either, though. That's the thing, is like he is more up there as he's trying to make a point and make you think about shit than just comedy.
Right.
But just taking a step back and just talking about the film, like I found it to be a pretty inspiring documentary about like just kind of like, you know, he was an interesting subject. He's a likable guy in my opinion, even if you don't line up with his politics. He seems to me, I find him likable.
Yeah, like I mean, he's a charming individual who like really seems like he wants the best for everybody, even the people that he hates. Like,
yeah,
he wants them to like kind of like understand like, hey, you're doing shit wrong. Like,
and he makes no secret about who he hates. It's the Catholics, and yeah. You should follow him on Twitter, Chris. Because I swear to God, he wasn't lying in the movie. Every single day he asked the Pope to excommunicate him.
Yeah, that was a funny bit in there. But also, like, that was another kind of... Like,
oh, you knew that. I knew that was coming. That priest was a scumbag, too.
Yeah, like, I mean, he goes into this detail about how he, you know, he was an altar boy at the church that, you know, where his parents went as a kid, and he was with this one priest, like, over, like, that's really what I thought. Like, I thought, like, they were gonna say, like, this guy, like, molested him, and, like, no, it just turns out he was, like, an asshole to him, but he was molesting other kids, like.
Yeah, but I love the point he makes. He goes, the way he would humiliate me in front of the whole mass or whatever, he goes, that's what he would get away with in public. He's like, I just, you know, imagine what he was doing with kids, and
right,
of course he was. But yeah, I guess we kind of spoiled a lot of it for people, but it's a really good documentary, and it's on Netflix now, so.
Yeah, yeah, go give it a watch, definitely.
If you had to give it a rating.
Covering between like a 4 and a 5, I'll probably go with a 4. Like, I thought it was really good. And it was captivating all the way through. There were definitely a couple parts that, like, just didn't seem to... At the time, didn't seem to fit. Now that I'm, like, thinking about it, they did. It was just, like, a different way of telling the story, I guess.
Yeah, I go 5 on this. I just... You don't get documentaries that are this good this often. Most of them are usually interesting, but...
Or about, like, a topic like this, either. Like...
It also, to me, is, like, I'm a big fan of comics and stuff, too, so it just... Even the beginning, before it gets into any of his past, like, just seeing, like, those early days, a lot of these, like Lenny Clark and all these guys that, like, you know from something, just hearing about those days where they're doing coke and this and that, like, all this crazy shit, and it's just, like, I don't know, like, that part, like, that's what I went into it thinking that I was watching a documentary about, and I was completely satisfied, and then all of a sudden... It, like, cranks it up to 11, and I'm like, whoa, we're in for a different type of movie here. Like,
yeah.
That's when I usually try to recommend this to people, I try to tell them nothing. I'm like, it's about a comedian you never heard of and why you never heard of him. That's what I tell people.
And that's a good, I mean, yes, that's probably a very good way of, like, looking at it. And then maybe they get something more out of it after they watch it.
Yeah. But yeah, it's a really great documentary about an interesting subject, like an interesting guy, but then about a very important subject, like something that people are not comfortable talking about.
And very timely, just in terms of when I watched it as a...
Jared Fogle?
Yeah, Jared was just sentenced today, so for child pornography, so... it's something that is still going on today. It's not something that was stamped out.
No, it's nothing you're ever gonna... You're never gonna get rid of.
Right. It,
but you also shouldn't have companies just making money off of it either.
Right.
So. No, I mean, yeah. You know that I love the movie, so... I'm happy you enjoyed it as well. I saw a couple of movies this week myself. Didn't get to all the ones I wanted to, but I did see Dark Places and a movie called Dope.
Okay.
Preferences there? one you want to hear about first?
Let's go with Dark Places first.
Okay.
Because I know you're really high on dope, so.
Yeah, well, about to be super high on dope. Dark Places is, it's like a mystery thriller. Came out this year. It was based on a book by Gillian Flynn, or is it Gillian Flynn? I still can never remember.
I'm not sure. I would pronounce it Jillian. That
I would
I'm
too.
probably wrong.
I would, well, because it's with a G, but
Right.
like Gillian sounds weird. Anyways, she is, I think, a great writer. Have you read any of her books, Chris?
No, but I have seen Gone Girl, which is one of
Yes.
hers.
Yes, that's she's written three books. Gone Girl is the last one that she did. Before that, she did Dark Places, and so I had been saying since I read Dark Places that it needs to be adapted to a film, and I little did I know it had been. So I don't know. This one, it seems like it wasn't in theaters, or I don't know what the fuck happened with it because it has a pretty all-star cast. You have,
Charlize Theron, right?
yeah, Charlize Theron in the lead. You have Christina Hendricks, who plays her mom when she was a kid. And you have Chloe Moretz in it too, playing like this fucking out of control teenager, which I haven't seen her do that yet. I mean, those three right there, they're all pretty big name actors, I'd say, or actresses, whatever. Anyways, the plot of it goes, when Charlize Theron, when she was a kid in the 80s, living in this rural area, her whole family got murdered in this farmhouse where she grew up. And she went on the stand and testified that her brother did it. 30 years later, she's an adult. She ran out of whatever money she inherited. She's doing whatever she can to get money. And she runs into this group, like this, they're like this crime enthusiast club, whatever. I don't know how you describe them. It's like, you know, it's like a little club that gets together once a week to like, they're all kind of like working on old crime cases and shit. And anyways, they approach her, they pay her money to make an appearance, and one of the guys, and they're kind of trying to convince her that her brother didn't do it. And at first, they're paying her to go investigate it, and then she starts to get interested on her own. But what really happened that night? So it's just really kind of like complicated mystery about like what really happened and whether her brother did it. And it takes all sorts of weird turns, and I don't know, I remember really liking the novel, and the film follows it pretty much to a T with a good cast and everything, and it's well made, so I'm like a little confused as to why this didn't get a stronger release. I mean, Gone Girl was one of the biggest films of last year. I do think Gone Girl is a better film and probably a better story. But
Okay.
this one, as far as like mystery thrillers go, this one ain't bad either. Lots of nice twists and turns. You probably won't be able to predict the ending. And I think it has like a satisfying, like once you're like, oh, like once everything clicks into place, you're like, damn, that's fucking devastating. That is a dark ass place. So yeah, I actually enjoyed it. I really loved the book, and I went back and I like right after I watched the movie, I read like the last three pages of the book, and I'm like, yeah, that kind of like the final shot, the final scene, that was the how the book ended. Her writing though, you gotta read one of her books, man. She's a great writer. So she kind of elevates the material just with her words, but it's good material, and I'm surprised that this one didn't get a lot more support. I'm gonna be conservative. I'm gonna give it 3 stars. I do think that it could have been a little more stylish, and a lot of the scenes in the film are shot so poorly. Like they look, it's just there's a lot of scenes in the dark where you can't really see what's going on. But other than that, like it's not a poor quality film. Like it doesn't feel like a straight to video movie. It feels like something that should have been released in theaters and at least had a month or so run. So
It weird that it didn't, so
when you consider from the author of Gone Girl, starring Charlize Theron, she's like an Oscar winner, isn't she?
Yeah.
Yeah. Christina Hendricks from Mad Men. Chloe Moretz from she's played like every fucking teenage girl for like the last 10 years. I don't know, like she's really good in it. She's like I didn't notice it was her for a while. Because they go back into the past and as they're going along, they'll like have flashbacks, like extended flashbacks in the past, showing what was going on with her brother at the time, and he was kind of hanging around with this like metal crowd, and a lot of people in town thought they were Satanists. A lot of the film kind of feels inspired by, like, have you ever seen Paradise Lost? Heard of that? You know what I'm
I have
talking about?
heard of it. I don't
Yeah.
believe I've ever actually watched it, though.
There's like these kids who are quote unquote Satanists who had been
Yeah.
accused and I think convicted of crimes that there really wasn't much evidence that they committed.
Yeah, I think they've
But everyone,
that was finally overturned, so.
yeah, it's like everyone in town was like, well, they obviously did. They're Satanists. And that's kind of like what this movie is. And when she was a kid, she was like a little girl when the murders took place, so she could easily been led on by anybody to say, yeah, my brother did it, you know. I don't want to say much more than that. I don't want to spoil it. I don't want to, you get to see where the mystery goes for yourself. But I think it is a nice complex mystery, and it does adapt the book pretty well. Like I couldn't see the adaptation turning out much better than it did. I do think that like I said, I think Gone Girl is a better, even more twisted story, but this one ain't bad either. So it's worth it. It's a solid rental.
Does look like it received a very limited theatrical run. It was only out for about 2 weeks, and only about 151 theaters, so
Yeah, so it was a limited release. Like it got
yeah.
treated like an indie movie, but even then, it didn't get like much attention or anything. Like,
Well, it's distributor, and I mean these the production companies on it I've never heard of, so that could be one key. But its distributor was A24
I've heard of
here.
them.
They are the ones that did Ex Machina earlier this year and Tusk for
Yeah.
Kevin Smith last year. It's
And
not like they're not a huge distributor, so I wonder if like money was an issue with this.
but that's a perfect example where like Ex Machina was barely in theaters, it felt like to me.
Right.
But people talked about it. You know what I mean? Like
Yeah.
right away people talked about it. I own it on fucking Blu-ray and I'm trying to get everyone I know to watch it, but no one
I do
seems to.
wonder if that,
It's a
like,
tough. They
Ex
should
Machina
change the
came.
title.
Yeah, Ex Machina. Well, Ex Machina did I mean, it came out in about 2,000 theaters, so made 25 million. But that came out in April as well, so I wonder if maybe some of that. This evidently released in.
In April.
Like, this evidently. Dark Places evidently released in, like, August, so.
Okay.
You're, like, up against. Big summer blockbusters. I don't know how
I don't know.
A24 would have got it. Maybe released in the wrong spot.
I just feel like there's an audience for that
Yeah.
type of movie. Like Gone Girl, like it's in the same vein as Gone Girl. Like she writes twisted ass shit. Like it's
Right.
kind of like
And
fans of
it
that, but
has a named cast at least, like.
if you market it as the next movie from the writer of Gone Girl, like
Right, I mean
that should have drew a crowd.
it's
Like
not gonna bring the Fincher crowd in, because I mean he directed Gone Girl, but it
yeah,
should
this
bring
doesn't have the
something
yeah.
in.
And this doesn't have the Fincher touch, but it's a
Right.
competently made film.
Right, but you would expect you're not gonna expect 170 million from it, but
Yeah.
maybe you make a quarter of that if you release it wide and get in front of it with some marketing.
I think you'll like it, dude. I think you should put that on your list somewhere and
I will.
watch it sometime.
Actually, I think it might be on my watch list on Letterboxd, so.
Also should be on your watch list, if it wasn't before, is a film called Dope.
Right, so tell me about Dope.
Have you heard of it?
No.
Okay, because I think one of the biggest crimes of films this year is no one is talking about Dope. Like, it is the most overlooked fucking movie of the year. First off, all right, it's a coming of age movie, which who doesn't like that, right?
Everyone loves one of those.
Yeah, come on. But tell me this, all right. Have you ever seen a movie about a kid, a black kid in South Central LA? And his story is he is a total fucking geek. And he loves movies and video games and comic books, and he's trying to avoid all the pitfalls of the environment he's raised in to get into college.
No.
Right? That has not been a character that Hollywood has done yet. And it's him and his buddies like trying to navigate this world where they don't really fit in and just survive and get out of it to go to college. For that alone is refreshing enough that it's like worth a look, and that's why I rented the movie, because I knew that part. But I had no idea what I was getting myself into. I thought I was gonna get myself into like it was like John Hughes meets Boys in the Hood kind of type thing, right?
All right.
Which it kind of is, but on top of that, it's a crime film, it's action, it's drama, like it's all these things that like I did not see coming like at all. And it handles it all well. Like, it has humor. There's shocking violence out of nowhere. Like, it has a little bit of everything. And it's able to pull that off because the director, Rick. Fuck, I ain't even gonna try to say his name. Rick something. He has complete confidence in what he's doing. And the film is just very stylish. Like, almost like. The closest thing I could think to like comparing to is like a Tarantino film, but it does not feel like a Tarantino film. It's really this guy doing his own thing. And so what it is like him and his two geeky friends who like they have like a punk rock band together. They're going about their lives, and they end up in possession of a bag full of like probably millions of dollars worth of fucking cocaine. Oh yeah, that's right. I'm sorry. It was Molly, white powdery substance worth a lot of money, and they have to figure out what to do with it. And not to spoil or anything, but there's a little bit of Breaking Bad, I feel like, mixed in there. I don't really want to say much more than that. It's a really funny, fun movie that surprised me at every fucking turn, and it just felt really fresh and positive, almost like a positive take on. You know, these kids in this neighborhood where, like, you've only seen one sort of depiction of before. And this was something completely different and just really fun. Like, it really took me by surprise. Can't sing its praises enough. It's a solid 5 out of 5 for me. I think my first 5 out of 5 since we've fucking rebooted.
Well, I mean, he gave a call me lucky a 5 out of 5 too,
Oh, yeah, well.
We'll go with
I'm
that.
going 2-5. I'm in a very giving mood tonight, or there's just a few really good movies. I was on the fence with this. I probably could see myself going back and like saying, oh, that's a solid 4. It's not like a masterpiece, but it took me by such surprise, and it's just something that I really want people to see. Oh, and one other really funny thing I didn't mention about these kids, and this threw me off for like the first 15 minutes of the movie, is they all dress and they look like they're from the early 90s. And I'm like, okay, so it's about kids growing up, like, you know, during like the Rodney King era. No, they're just obsessed with 90s rap, like him and his two buddies. So like that's just how they dress and act, and everyone makes fun of them for it in the movie. I forgot who I was talking about on Twitter about it, where they're like, dude, I did not realize through halfway through the movie that it took place now. I was like, I realized early on because they said something about Justin Bieber, and I was like, wait, Justin Bieber was not around in 92 or 3 or whatever, so these kids are just fucking dorks who wish it was fucking the early 90s again. And they like, there's a part in the movie where like they talk to this drug dealer and he's making fun of how they dress and stuff, and like the kid goes into it, he's like, dude, that was the best time of rap. And he like they have like these really funny like nerdy discussions in the movie like that come out of nowhere. And like just an example of like just the things I like about this, like they tell a story early on about a kid who was waiting in line at Burger King and he was playing his Game Boy, and they're like, dude, some guy just walked in and fucking blew him away, like he had nothing to do with it, and he just got, and they show it happening. And they show the Game Boy hitting the ground all covered in blood, and like, worst part, he was just about to beat Ganon. I was like, that's fucking great, dude. Like, you know, it's just like, it spoke to me. I was like, you don't see movies about these types of characters, and these type of kids do exist, you know?
Right.
It isn't all people like are gangbangers or whatever. It's like there's people who live in these neighborhoods like, get me the fuck out of here.
And there's probably more of them than there are, you know, what
exactly than what the Hollywood depicts. Like it's like they probably outnumber the gangbangers. I mean, they have to, you know what I mean? So yeah, I just I would love to hear your report back after you see it. It's definitely a must see. And in fact, like I liked it so much I want to see it again, so I might buy it.
Cool. I will look into that one. That seems like something I would probably really like. So
you like it more than you think. Because going in, I was like, yeah, I would like to see a coming of age, like kind of John Hughes-ish movie that's like in a different neighborhood. But then it's like you mix that with a crime film, and I'm like, yes, this is like everything I like. So yeah, really fun movie. It will be in my top 10 of the year, which I guess we're gonna have to start talking about soon. Top 10s.
Yeah.
Or we're going to have to do our movies of the year episode soon.
Yeah, I kind of want to hold off till I see Star Wars, but...
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, we could do that. We could just pop it out in the week, you know, like maybe after Christmas or something.
Yeah.
Or do our...
Sit down.
We're going to have to do a fucking Star Wars episode. You know, you know how we take our break with our other show? We have to do a Star Wars episode, right? Like right after Star Wars.
Yeah, I think we're going to have to get down maybe because we will have an episode the week of Christmas. We're going to need one for the week after Christmas. So I think like maybe right before Christmas, like, you know, 22nd, 23rd, we're going to need to sit down and talk about The Force Awakens. So
yeah, and we might have a bigger cast for that one, I imagine. I'm sure we could rope some
fucking... Yeah, I figure... might want to sit down and talk about the series in general, probably the episode before that too, so
sure
we could probably get a bunch of people on for that as well.
Could be fun.
Yeah. But I will see what's it, Mockingjay Part 2.
Yeah.
I'm gonna take my oldest daughter and my son out to see it on Sunday, so.
Well, let me know how you like my wife in that.
All right. I'm assuming you're talking about Jennifer Lawrence.
Of course.
Although Natalie Dormer is in it as well.
I have no idea. She doesn't matter. She's irrelevant.
Come on. She's really good looking in Game of Thrones. So.
She's no.
She's not Jennifer Lawrence.
Who is? All right. Well, who's she in Game of Thrones?
She's the queen. She married
Marjorie
yes.
or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. She's gonna marry Joffrey and then she marries Tommen.
Yeah, she's no J-Lo.
It's true. I mean, who is though outside of her?
Yeah, true.
Yeah, I want to see that. I don't know when it comes out, but David O. Russell.
With.
I mean, that seems to be his go-to actress now.
Well, that seems to be, he's kind of got like a...
He has a
like,
cast.
Like, yeah.
It's
yeah.
almost like he does like an anthology movie. Like.
I will say that I thought that American Hustle was way overrated in the snooze fest, in my opinion, but...
I liked it. I enjoy those actors, so...
I really liked Silver Linings Playbook.
That was excellent.
I have problems with it, but it's... It's just a hard movie not to like, really. Yeah. So yeah, I liked, you know, ever since Three Kings, I liked him. So, yeah, I'm interested to see how that turns out.
I never
out.
Saw it. What was it? I Heart Huckabees.
Huckabees.
That,
yeah.
I've never seen that one. But.
No, me neither. It's just probably a reason neither of us has seen it. But
right.
I don't know. I'd check it out.
But yeah, so we'll be back next week talking about that. I know you. You have
I have
something
the,
else on tap.
Kingsman and
yes.
San Andreas.
Right. And I will have seen Mockingjay. I also have like another weird horror comedy which I can't remember the name of it to watch as well. But if I don't watch it soon I'll have wasted $3 or whatever.
I will be dipping back into horror soon as well with Poltergeist Remake. We Are Still Here and Unfriended, so
oh
get excited for that.
Unfriended. I should watch that as well. Tell me when
Oh, I
you're gonna
thought you
watch that. I will watch that with
Okay.
you. So
All right.
that looks like a terrible movie.
Yeah.
But the con
Yeah.
the I like the concept behind it, that it's all like the entire film takes place on a Skype screen. I want to see how they make that work.
Yeah. Well, or how they
Or
don't.
don't make it work.
Yeah.
Make it into a train wreck. I also want to see, I don't know if you saw the trailers for it. It's called The Gallows.
No.
Looks like it's another kind of like half found footage type, but it takes place in a school where there's kind of like a Jason type character that is haunting the school, and he only shows up on like this one day or whatever, like when they're gonna getting ready to do their school play. So that sounds like an interesting one that I want to take a look at.
I'll have to look it up. All right, well, I gotta take a piss. And
And we have something else to record, so
yeah.
we'll be back next week.
Movie
Movie
dudes.
dudes.
Do 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 do.